Hey y'all, me again, doing another book review. This was one, I talked about this, I think, on my 2021 TBR, which I did back in January. And I mentioned, I think, that this was a book that I had read a long time ago. I think I read it, back in probably the early 2000s, I want to say. And I really dug it, so it was one that I had kind of forgotten a lot of stuff about it. So I wanted to give it a reread because it's been, you know, like 20 years, I think, since I read it last time, and see if it was, if it still held up, and, you know, just kind of see if I felt the same way about it. And the book that I am discussing today is called Silk by Caitlin R. Kiernan. Now, this book, I believe, originally came out in 1998. It was Caitlin Kiernan's first published novel. I don't think it was the first one she wrote, but it was the first one that was published. I think she wrote another one like earlier, but that didn't get published till later. She had published a lot of short fiction prior to this being published, but this was kind of like her big thing. Now, the thing about this book is that, and the thing about Caitlin Kiernan is that she is pretty adamant about saying that she's not really a horror writer. And I would kind of agree with her on that score. A lot of her stuff tends more toward dark fantasy, you know, urban dark fantasy, that kind of thing. Poppy Z. Bright kind of vibe, like her and Poppy Z. Bright are very, very similar writers. They write about the same kind of, you know, very urban, gothic, you know, death rock, punk rockers. Like, it's a lot of music. It's a lot of people that are drug addicts or homeless. She writes a lot of queer characters, as she herself is trans. And so, you know, it's kind of all in that same kind of milieu, I guess, if you want to call it, if I can use like an obnoxiously pretentious word like that. Little bit of like Neil Gaiman going on there too, I feel like. And when Silk came out, I think she had been getting a lot of buzz, like in the late 90s and early 2000s, from a lot of big writers, like I said, like Neil Gaiman, Clive Barker, Ray Bradbury, like even came out and said, you know, this is kind of a new style or something like that. So I kind of feel like in the zeitgeist of that time, there was a lot of, you know, since Poppy Z. Bright had also been coming up and things like that, and it's kind of in the same wheelhouse. Now, so I will say, if this is not something that sounds like it's going to appeal to you, I mean, the reason that that kind of, that Caitlin Kiernan and Poppy Z. Bright and authors like that really appealed to me is because, you know, growing up as I did in the goth scene in the 80s, you know, in 90s, you didn't really, there wasn't really a lot of horror fiction that was written from that point of view. And it was kind of refreshing, you know, in the 90s to finally have these writers coming out that were writing horror fiction that, you know, had characters I could relate to. And I was just like, oh man, I remember like hanging out with people like this, you know, that are set in those kind of like grungy, like punk and goth clubs and stuff like that. So it was something that I really resonated with because it was something that, you know, that I spent a lot of my teenage years and 20s kind of doing. So it's characters I could relate to. That said, I will say Silk, I would call it a horror novel, but it's kind of like a psychological horror novel, and it's kind of more, it's way more character-based and mood-based, atmosphere-based than it is plot-based. So again, so if that sounds like it's going to bother you, then maybe not. And she also has like a very poetic, very heavy on the metaphor style. So if that, again, sounds like something that's going to, like, bother you, I mean, her writing is very descriptive. It's very, just, it's just thick with, like, mood and atmosphere. And she has a, and I think this, so, this is something that I thought was kind of interesting, like, the first time I read this, is that a lot of times she'll, like, she, like, takes two adjectives, kind of, and, like, smushes them together, you know what I mean? Like, instead of them being hyphenated or whatever. So that's just something, it's, I don't know. It seemed like a little affected the first time I read it, but now it doesn't really bother me because now I kind of feel like a lot of authors do that kind of thing. And it's not, I don't know, it doesn't really like take you out of the story much. But as I said, this is definitely, definitely more character based and is based around the setting and all the people that are involved. And then there's, you know, horror kind of shit going on in the background, but it's not really the main thrust or the main focus of it. Now, I will say that Silk has a sequel, I think it's called The Murder of Angels. Now, it came out like several years after this when I haven't read the second one. There's a character in this named Nikki Kai, who is a Vietnamese girl. And I think she is the main character of the second one. But as I said, I haven't read it. So I don't know like where it goes and stuff. So I'm just kind of going to focus on this one. So this one, it's set in Birmingham, Alabama, where Caitlin Kiernan lived around there. I believe she was born in Ireland, actually, but came here when she was younger. She's actually also a paleontologist. That's what she studied, and she's published some papers on that score as well. But as I said, probably better known as a dark fantasy writer, and also writes for comics and things like that as well. She's been around forever. I think she's almost 60 at this point. And she's even been on, I've even sent her, tons of documentaries. I think she was on that H.P. Lovecraft documentary, Fear of the Unknown, I think it was called. Like, they interviewed her on there pretty extensively, talking about Lovecraft. So, you know, anytime you see anything like a big horror, like a bunch of big heavy hitter horror writers on there, she is usually on there. So this story kind of details, it's sort of like this sprawling tale. So it's Birmingham, Alabama, and it's kind of like all of these different disparate characters sort of coming together, and it's sort of all of their interwoven stories. What all of them have in common is that they're all these sort of like fringe outsider type of characters. Like I said, I think that was something that really appealed to me when I first read this, like in, you know, the late 90s or whenever, that these are all kind of like, you know, they're musicians, they're, you know, some of them are homeless, like some of them are heroin addicts, but a lot of them are like in, you know, punk bands or goth bands, and they all just kind of like hang out together and try to, a lot of them are estranged from their families or have run away from home or things like that. And as I said, these sort of fringe characters, these outsiders who always kind of try to come together to sort of make their own family in a way, which, like I said, I usually like stories like that. It's very appealing to me because it's something that resonates with my own life in a lot of ways. So I'd know people that are like a lot of the people that she portrays in this book. So as I said, it's almost kind of like from the beginning, it sort of jumps around like to a bunch of different characters at first. You're following Nikki Kai, like I said, who is a Vietnamese girl. She is from New Orleans, and she's kind of just running away from her. She had a boyfriend, or kind of an on again, off again boyfriend, lover, friend slash, and he ended up, he confessed that he was trans, and then he ended up like committing suicide. She feels guilty because she feels like she could have done something better for him and she wasn't there for him. So she kind of like runs away, and she ends up in Birmingham, Alabama, because that's where her car breaks down and she can't afford to get it fixed. And so as she kind of goes on, she meets up with this other kind of little group, sort of led by Daria, who is this girl. She plays bass in a band, and she also works in a coffee shop, which is where Nikki ends up meeting her, because she goes into this coffee shop. It's the only thing that's open. And so, you know, Daria sees that she needs help and is like, hey, you can crash at my place. You know, she has a roommate. And then Daria has her own shit going on with, like I said, you know, other than working in the coffee shop, she also is in this band called Stiff Kitten. And her boyfriend, Keith, is the guitarist, and he is also a heroin addict. So her and the drummer of the band, whose name is Mort, you know, they're kind of struggling with trying to get Keith to get his shit together, even though he's like this genius guitar player, but he just can't get off the junk, and there's that whole situation going on there. And so he's almost kind of like, he's not homeless exactly, but he just like squats like in this office building, like this old crumbling office building that his uncle owns, and that like lets him crash there. So like I said, this is, all of these characters is very seedy, you know what I mean? It's in the same way, if you read any Poppy Z. Bright, their characters are a lot, you know, that's just set in New Orleans, but this is the same kind of thing. It's like a very Southern, you know, outsider, fringes of society type people that are just barely hanging on. It's a lot of poverty and drugs and drinking and just hanging out in dive bars and shit like that. So it's all that kind of situation. So then there's also this other kind of little group that's sort of interconnected in this scene in Birmingham. And this group is sort of led, if you want to call it that, by this woman named Spider Baxter. Her real name is Lila, but she's called Spider because One, she has like shit tons of tattoos of spider webs like all over her arms and whatever. And she's also really into spiders. Like in her house, she has like all of these pet spiders, tarantulas, black widows, all that kind of thing. Like she has this big wall of them because she really, that's like her totem animal kind of. They kind of bring that up a little bit. So there's that whole thing. Now, she has a couple of friends too, you know, these kind of hangers-on. She had inherited this like creepy old crumbling Victorian house like from her family or whatever. And so she kind of lives out there and with her spiders. And she also has all of these other, as I said, sort of hangers-on that kind of hang out with like Byron and Robin, her girlfriend. And so they all kind of hang out in this house and hang out in clubs. The other groups kind of call them her shrikes, which I thought was very funny because they're always kind of like together. And Spider's thing is that she's kind of like the most enigmatic character in the book because, you know, a lot of stuff is from her point of view, and she seems like, well, I don't know if a lot of it, because like I said, it jumps around like with a lot of characters. This is a very kind of sprawling, you know, it goes, bounces around from one character to another, and it's like, you know, what's going on in this situation? Like, what's going on with Daria and her band and, you know, and her heroin addict boyfriend? What's going on with Nikki? And, you know, because she kind of gets dragged along since she's kind of stuck in this town now because of her car breaking down. And so she kind of gets roped into things because she doesn't really have anywhere else to go. And so, but the thing about Spider is that you don't really know like entirely what happened. That's one thing about this is like the plot of this, there is a plot, but it's a lot of it is kind of left to your imagination, or a lot of it is put forward through implication rather than, you know, straight up exposition. This is what happened back in the day. So there's that aspect. And there's also an aspect too, if you're not entirely sure if Spider is actually kind of like a supernatural force of some kind, or has some kind of supernatural force inside of her, or if all of these people that are sort of in her orbit are almost kind of like inheriting, or like her madness is like rubbing off on them. It's that kind of situation, because she is, they do like, you know, say in the book, like she does have a lot of mental health problems. She had been in and out of mental institutions. She takes a lot of medication. You kind of get little glimpses of her past, like this house that she's living in now, which like I said, was her family home when she was growing up. You kind of have a thing where it's like her dad kept her locked down in the basement. Like he thought it was going to be the end of the world. And, you know, he was saying all this stuff about, you know, angels falling in heaven and like angels were trying to get him, you know, and then you find out later on, like even worse shit happened than that. So there's kind of like a weird thing about, you're not really sure if these angels, which kind of take the form of like spidery type of, but it's like I said, it's sort of a vague type of thing. You're not really sure if they're real or if like just some weird shit is happening, because it does seem like at some point three of Spider's friends, including her girlfriend and a couple of her other friends, actually go down in the basement of her house and do shrooms. And when they come out of there, it almost seems like whatever these creatures are, like if they're some kind of like evil angels, or if they're giant spiders or whatever it is they are, like start coming after everybody in this orbit and like picking them off one by one. And for a long time, you're not really sure if Spider is like a good guy, or if she's like evil, but she can't help it. Or if she, you know what I mean? Like if she's like the vessel for something, which actually does kind of become clearer toward the end of the book. But there is kind of like a lot of, as I said, there's like a lot of vagueness like around the plot, because basically what happens is you just jump back and forth from character to character, like whatever's going on with them. And then sort of like in the fringes or in the background of all of these situations of all these interrelated characters, some of them are seeing things like out of the, like they'll be walking down an alley and they'll see like a shadow, or they'll see something that looks really fucked up and they're not really sure if it's real or not. But they know that it's somehow related to Spider Baxter, but they're not sure, you know, was it the shrooms we did? Are we having flashbacks? You know, we don't really know if this is a real thing. But then some people, like some of the people start turning up dead, as I said, like over the course of the book, and you're not entirely sure if these creatures are real or if Spider is doing it, or if she's sort of responsible for it somehow. Like I said, that becomes more clear. I don't really want to spoil it, but it becomes more clear toward the end of the book sort of what's going on. But keep in mind, if you, like I said, it's a horror novel, but it's not like really overt with the horror. It's mostly like a psychological type of story. It's a character-driven sort of story. A lot of it's very moody, very atmospheric. A lot of it is description, you know, and Caitlin Kiernan just like painting a picture of this sort of the dredges of society, like in this part of Birmingham, you know, just these crumbling tenement buildings and these dive, stinky, like dive bars and that type of thing. So if that sounds like something you'd be into, then you'd probably really dig this. Like I said, if you like Poppy Z. Bright, you should definitely pick up Caitlin Kiernan's stuff, because at least Caitlin Kiernan's earlier stuff is very much like Poppy Z., but not as, Poppy Z. Bright's stuff tends to be really gory and like really graphic. Poppy Z. Bright was always into like cannibalism and just really fucked up, disgusting, gory imagery. Caitlin Kiernan, not so much. Her stuff, as I said, is more fantasy-based. I almost want to say it's kind of like halfway between Poppy Z. Bright and like Neil Gaiman, you know what I mean? So it's like, it's more of like a dark fantasy type of shit. Fucked up shit happens. There's, you know, monsters and violence and stuff, but it's not to the extreme as like Poppy Z. Bright stuff. Cause I mean, some of Poppy Z. Bright stuff is like way the fuck out there with like cannibalism and like really, really fucked up shit. This isn't like that, but it still has some of the same aspects, you know what I mean? Just in the sense of all of these characters that are kind of just like hanging out at these, you know, just at the bottom rung of like society, you know what I mean? And just kind of like trying to eke out this kind of sad existence, like with drugs and booze and, you know, and everything like that. But trying to like build a family on top of that, you know what I mean? So if that sounds appealing to you, then you'd probably be into it. I've read some of Caitlin Kiernan's later stuff. I read The Red Tree, which is great. Again, not really a horror novel. It's more like a psychological character. It's creepy. Like it has creepy, ghosty, possession-y type of aspect to it, but it's not overtly horror. And that was really good. The Drowning Girl is also very good, and a lot of her short fiction is also very good too. So this one, if you like some of the later stuff, I don't know, I haven't read enough of her more recent stuff to know, because I've read like some reviews of people that really dug her later stuff, but then when they read her earlier stuff, like Silk, they were just kind of like, yeah, it's not for me. Because I think she kind of got out of that whole 90s urban goth grunge punk type of thing later on in her, just much as the same as Poppy Z. Bright did. So I don't really know, but I can't really judge because I haven't read a lot of her newer stuff, so I don't know like how much different it is. But she really does have a distinctive writing style, which is, like I said, is very atmospheric, very moody, very almost dreamlike, you know, just very, very descriptive. A lot of it is just very, you know, there'll be paragraphs and paragraphs just like describing this area and the people and everything. And so it's really evocative. Like, you know, you can really like picture the whole thing happening in your head, but it's like more based around that than it is based around plot. There is a plot in there, but it's kind of like not, it's not the main thing. It's not kind of why you're reading it. You know what I mean? This is kind of more an immersive, you just want to immerse yourself in this world and get to know these people. And by the way, there's maybe evil spider angel somethings like kind of creeping around the fringes, sort of killing them off one by one. So there's that kind of whole thing too. So as I said, this is called Silk, came out in, I believe it first came out in 1998, which is probably, I think I read it, I must have read it like really, really shortly, like after it came out, because I had read like a lot of her short fiction prior to that, because it was in like a lot of, it was in, she wrote a lot of stories for like the Hot Blood series, which was like horror erotica, and I had a bunch of those, like I still got them somewhere. But yeah, so I had read her stuff, so when that came out, you know, I kind of got it as soon as it came out in paperback. And this was like right up my alley. It's like not, I think I liked it more the first time I read it just because I was just kind of like, holy crap, this is like my life. But I mean, but aside from the heroin, because, you know, I'm not into that. But you know, I related a lot to it. You know, it was the South, you know, it's Alabama instead of Florida, but it was a similar kind of thing, similar kind of characters to people that I knew, similar kind of places to the places that I went to. So, you know, so it's that kind of thing. You know, I think it probably resonates a little bit less with me now, but just because I've read so much fiction like this since then, but when this came out, like in the 90s, it was really like cutting edge. You just didn't really read a lot of fiction set in that world, so it was like really refreshing and it was something new. Now it probably wouldn't seem like that to readers because, you know, because it's been a while since it was published and there's been a lot of that kind of stuff subsequently. So I think I liked it more the first time than the second time, but I still really liked it this time. And I definitely need to read some more of her newer stuff because I've heard that it's like, it's even better. Like she got like better and better. As I said, I read The Red Tree and some of her other stuff later on, but I feel like she's pretty prolific and particularly with short stories. And I've kind of gotten, you know, I've kind of like fallen by the wayside because like I said, I have so many other things that I have to read. So eventually I'll get around to it. But yeah, if that sounds like something that you would be into, then by all means, check it out and let me know if you read it, and if you did, what you thought of it in the comments. And that will do it for this Tomes of Terror. I will be back for the next one. Bye.